The gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I read for you Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Matthew 3, 13. Listen. Listen. The Spirit of God is in these words. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Seems like just a few weeks ago that we were talking about a baby in a manger, doesn't it? Oh, wait, we were. And here we are at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. It began with his baptism. The first time we see Jesus as a full adult in Matthew is at his baptism. Until now, Jesus had appeared in Matthew only as a baby. And even then, he'd been in the background, while the focus had been on Herod, who wanted to kill him, and the Magi, who visited him and brought gifts, and his parents, who protected him. Jesus' very first initiative in the Gospel of Matthew is to present himself for baptism. It's a scene beloved by painters. Rembrandt, it has one of the most famous paintings of Jesus at his baptism. Jesus easing his way through the crowds, slowly moving down the embankment, seeking his cousin, the wild-eyed, locust-eating preacher, standing in the waters of the Jordan River. On seeing Jesus approach, John protested, "I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" John's confusion makes sense, both to him and, frankly, to us. He had been telling the crowds at the river who'd come to hear him preach that baptism is about repentance. So why would the Messiah want baptism? The sinless one doesn't need to be washed, right? It's a difficult question. Why does Jesus present himself for baptism at the hand of John? It concerned John deeply. He may have thought that dunking the Messiah would imply the presence of some hidden sin or corruption. And certainly John was aware that in this line of influence and authority, Jesus was first, not John. No, this sure didn't look right. Why would he approach John for baptism? All the theologians have struggled with any notion of the incarnate Christ needing to repent. But by submitting himself to John for baptism, Jesus acted in humility, placing himself for that act under the authority of John. John protested, "Jesus is the authority figure. Jesus doesn't need baptism of repentance for sins." Still, Jesus insisted, despite John's protests. He didn't need to be baptized, yet for you and for me, and for his almighty God, he emptied himself of heavenly fullness, took upon himself the form of a humble servant, entered clean into the dirty waters of humanity, so that in him we might emerge refreshed and renewed. In the 21st century, the real question, however, may be, does baptism mean anything anymore? For many, baptism is neither powerful nor significant. Rather, it seems like an old-fashioned ritual or a bland event tacked onto worship services to make parents and grandparents happy and to allow the baptized baby to wear the family baptismal gown passed down through several generations. Truth is, many churches don't gather at the river anymore. We sure don't. We've taken it inside, cleaned it all up, and toned it down. Some baptismals use minimal amounts of water. Of course, there are problems of space and time and pollution. In most places today, if we baptized folks in a river, we'd have to give them a tetanus shot immediately afterwards. So, what is baptism then? And why do we do it? Why do various denominations do it differently, one from another? Should we dunk, or is it okay to sprinkle? And what are those magic words that the pastor usually says? For some people, baptism is sort of like joining a Jesus club. We've all joined clubs, and every club has its rules and regulations. Maybe baptism is like joining a Jesus club, and now we have to follow the Jesus rules as suggested by this denomination or this particular congregation. For some, baptism is like hell insurance. Many hospital chaplains, myself included, have been called to the bedside of an infant or a small child because parents have been told the child will not live through the night. Or how many of you have heard about a grandma who insisted that a child be baptized because the family was going on a long trip and grandma didn't want to see that baby in a car accident and killed and end up going to hell. So that makes baptism like hell insurance. For some denominations, waiting until a child is older to be baptized is the better choice. They want to let the child grow up until they are old enough to make a decision on their own. The Presbyterian Book of Order states that, quote, baptism is one of two sacraments, Mary knows this, two sacraments instituted by God and commended by Christ. In baptism, believers are sealed in redemption, renewed as one of God's own, and marked for service. There's another quote from the Book of Order that, of course, all of you know. And it talks about infant baptism. So why do Presbyterians baptize babies? The Book of Order says, and I quote, "The baptism of children witnesses to the truth that God claims people before they are able to respond in faith. Always, it is God who takes the initiative. Baptism is the invitation from God to know us so closely that we are called son or daughter. So closely that we become family. So closely that we are called son or daughter in whom God delights. We are family with God." In the Presbyterian Church USA, the only requirement of receiving the waters of baptism as an adult is a public, personal confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if we say we believe, are we realizing baptism as the sacrament, the means, the conduit of God's grace? If baptism marks me as a member of the family of God, as a chosen child of the King, how would anybody else know? Baptism appears for the first time as a problem when Jesus came to be baptized by John. Matthew and his gospel writing colleagues solved this initial problem when John finally gave in and agreed. Christians ever since have struggled with a second question. Why is Jesus baptized at all? Given that we typically connect baptism to forgiveness of sins, if Jesus is a sinless Son of God, in what way does he need baptism? Or how does baptism benefit Jesus? And here's where the theologians, the evangelists, and the denominational rule writers all agree. Baptism is not simply a mechanism for forgiveness, and we should no longer limit its purpose. See, baptism announces God's favor and establishes Jesus' identity. In Matthew's account, the voice from heaven announced that Jesus is the Son of God, the one with whom God is well pleased. And while both Mark and Luke have similar accounts of Jesus' baptism, the voice, according to both Mark and Luke's reports, indicates that the voice said, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Matthew's version says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Different? Yep. If Mark's account and Luke's account were correct, "You are my beloved Son," then the voice of God was speaking directly to Jesus. If, however, Matthew's account is the more precise, "This is my beloved Son," then the voice of God is speaking to the people. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This announcement then becomes an announcer, an identifier of Jesus, and all the world heard it. Likewise, we hear it, which means that all of the people of God now know. That is his identity. And in baptism, in this sacred moment, in this sacred Jesus identity, becomes known to me. See, baptism is not primarily about the opportunity to unpack Granddad's traditional baptismal gown, or to take family photographs, or to eat good cake. Baptism is the sacrament in which we declare, in which God declares, that who we are, who you and I truly are sons and daughters of God. I am beloved, and with me, God is well pleased. Really? Yes. And baptism comes with a mission. Let me say that again. Baptism comes with a mission. It carries with it a mission that defines my identity and my relationship. The ritual of baptism is a sign of new life, a new life in service to God. In baptism, according to the Book of Order, believers are sealed in redemption, renewed as one of God's own, and marked for service. In Matthew's text, the baptism of Jesus is not the end of his ministry. It is the beginning. In our baptism, similar things happen to us as happened to Jesus when he was baptized. One, the Spirit of God comes to us and remains with us forever. Two, we are declared to be and identified as a child of God. Three, we hear that God is well pleased with us. And four, we are marked for service. Baptism for Jesus was less about forgiveness than it was about commissioning. The very beginning of his mission and his ministry, and the assurance of God's presence in that ministry and that entire journey, likewise, in mine. So here's a question that I still remember, although it was asked several years ago, in a Kids for God Wednesday afternoon session. Baptism was being discussed with the children. And one child proudly announced, "I was baptized." To which a second child asked, "Really? How would we know?" Have you been baptized? You may not recall the experience, but you've heard the story. Every baptized child is told the story of their baptism. It was a moment in time. You were marked with baptismal waters, a mark you carry for life, a mark that only God can see, but a mark nonetheless. You were marked for service. Even at a young age, even though you may not have agreed to what was happening that day, you were marked as God's own, and you were marked to serve. You carry that mark every day. You carry that mark in everything you do, and everything you say, and everything you are. You carry the mark of God on you. It's a privilege. It's an honor. Whether you were dunked or sprinkled does not matter to Almighty God. What matters is that a mark was left on you. We cannot see the water's mark because it was marked with water. But God sees it. And we can only see the results of that mark. Amen.